Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
So we all know that vitamin D is good for us, but did you know that it might even be linked to our BMI? To explain is Professor Lena Zgaga. She's a professor in epidemiology at the Department of Public Health and Primary Care at the School of Medicine at Trinity, and she's the principal investigator. Welcome to the program, Lena. We talked about vitamins on the program a while back, and I'm still trying to get my head around what a vitamin is and what vitamin D does. Can you give me just that for starters, please?
That sounds like a trick question because vitamin D is technically not a vitamin. So,
is it
no,
not?
Like it behaves way more like a hormone. So, normally what we call vitamins are compounds that our body can't make, but they are vitally important for us, but we need to get them from somewhere else. So, vitamin D doesn't really fit in that definition because we can all make vitamin D in our skin. And then when we look at the molecule itself, it's very similar to different steroid hormones. So it's kind of the same type of molecule like, you know, estrogen or progesterone or cholesterol and many other molecules in the body.
How much do we know about vitamin D, and how did we figure out that it was related to anything?
Yeah, good question. So, I mean, at this time, there is probably tens of thousands of studies on vitamin D. And we keep producing more because we keep not being able to, you know, get to the bottom of it. And I'm like, you know, part of that crowd. So we know a lot. We know it's very important. We know it has been linked with more than 200 different diseases. And this would be like from, you know, psychiatric diseases to metabolic diseases, you know,
really?
To like immunity. Yeah. And like... when we talk about immune regulation, normally we have two types of, you know, drugs or two types of compounds. So it would be compounds that boost our immune system. So we are then better able to fight against infections and better able to fight against cancer. But the risk with that is that we may become too good at fighting and then it may turn into autoimmune diseases. And then we have the other type of compounds which kind of push down our immune system so that it's not so active, which then means that we are at lower risk of autoimmune diseases, but then we're at high risk of things like cancer and infection. And the interesting thing about vitamin D is that it doesn't fall into either of them, because we see beneficial effects against protection or for protection against cancer or infections, but we also see beneficial effects in reducing the risk of autoimmune diseases. So we see vitamin D more like an immune system regulator, so that like the communication between all different aspects of immune system kind of works better, whichever way we need it.
Right. And so you said that we can synthesize internally vitamin D because of the sunlight. What is the process by that? Does that trigger something? I mean, surely not. We're not photosynthesizing vitamin D, or are
basically we are.
Oh.
I mean, not photosynthesizing, but so there is a compound in our skin. It's a molecule which is made from cholesterol molecules. It's very, very similar. It's called 7-dehydrocholesterol. And when sunlight shines on that molecule, the actual photo reaction turns that into a molecule which we call pre-vitamin D. And then by itself, that molecule actually just turns into vitamin D. So basically, you know, plants make whatever they make,
okay.
And we make vitamin D.
Okay, so We can synthesize this, though, right? It's possible to synthesize this molecule. Is it exactly vitamin D that we get in a bottle and for vitamin D tablets? Is there any difference in it?
No. So when you buy vitamin D supplement, you can buy vitamin D3 or vitamin D2. And what you get from sunlight is vitamin D3. What you get from most food, like, you know, salmon or eggs or meat, is vitamin D3 as well. And then the only source of vitamin D2, or the only one worthy of mentioning, is mushrooms. But basically, most vitamin D that people get in supplements is exactly the same what they make in their own skin.
Right. Explain to me how levels vary, because, you know, we're all the same species, yet someone in Iceland gets a totally different amount of sun compared to someone in Somalia, for example. Do we see inferred or conferred benefits to health for a Somalian person that are Somalian people just naturally much more healthy because of all of the benefits you talked about?
So if you live in Somalia, you have so much sunshine that your very important concern becomes protection against UV rays, which are obviously very strongly linked with skin cancer, right? So you kind of need to balance the amount of vitamin D that you want to make with the risks, such as skin cancer. So what I find very interesting is, if you were to imagine a map of the world, and if you were to kind of paint the map with the skin color of endogenous population, right? So for Somalia, you will kind of paint, you know, the average color that's in Somalia, and then, you know, wherever, you know, in Greece, you'll do Greece, in Ireland, you'll do Ireland, and so on. What you will find is this beautiful gradient, right? So from very dark to very light. But even when you compare countries in Europe, you know, such as, you know, say, I don't know, Italy and Belgium, like, you would still see a difference in skin color. And that tells us that it was really important for evolution. Yeah. So that there must be a reason why skin color evolved so perfectly, you know, shaded across latitudes. Mm. So the way we explain it is maybe a little bit, you know, morbid, but one disease that has been linked with vitamin D for centuries is rickets. And rickets causes deformations in the bones. And this includes deformations in pelvis. And obviously, if a female has a pelvis that's deformed, it presents a very high risk during childbirth. So basically, if you have two females 1,000 years ago, you know, living in the today's Ireland, right? The one that had slightly lighter skin will be able to synthesize slightly more vitamin D and will be slightly more protected against rickets. And then when you look at what happens to genes, so genes linked with lighter skin color are basically more likely to survive, right? So that's a long answer to your question, but...
No, it's fascinating. And so, as you say, we've got this delicate balance of getting the right amount of sunlight that leads to taking in amount of vitamin D. If we take it synthetically, is there, you know, like, I know with vitamin C, you just take as much as you want. We just weed it out, right? But with vitamin D, it sounds like it confers so many benefits. Should we be just taking vitamin D all the time? Is it that beneficial? Can you overdose on vitamin D, I guess, is my question.
It's very hard. So you would need to, over multiple days, you would need to be taking the entire box or the entire bottle to overdose.
Oh, wow.
Now, there's always groups in the population which have some diseases or some, you know, pre-existing conditions for which this isn't true. But for majority of people, it would be very hard to overdose. And the recommendations that are out there, they are quite conservative. So if you just follow the recommendations, it's basically impossible to overdose unless, again, you have one of those diseases.
So I want to talk about BMI in a second, but just very quickly for people at home, do you recommend that people take vitamin D every single day?
I do. Yeah, I do.
All right. Okay. All right. It's not something I ever do.
I was going to ask, though. Yeah.
So. No, I don't. No. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about BMI. And I know people don't love the measure of health as BMI or obesity as BMI, because there are qualifying factors. But how could vitamin D affect something like our BMI?
Yeah. So the relationship between vitamin D and BMI is complicated. And it's complicated because it seems that it works both ways. So the easier one to explain is why BMI would affect vitamin D levels. So we know that vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. So then if you have, you know, two people where one is lean and another one is obese, the obese person has much more fat tissue. So what happens, like those two people may have the same absolute amount of vitamin D in their bodies, but in one case, this vitamin D is diluted in a much larger volume of fat, right? And the analogy I sometimes use there is if you imagine that you're making a cordial for yourself, right? So you can put a dose of cordial in one cup of water, or you put a dose of cordial in two cups of water, right?
Right.
And the one where you only use one cup of water is going to be tastier, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like less diluted. So the same works for people. So if your vitamin D is more diluted, what your body perceives is that there isn't enough, right? So you're going to add in another bit of cordial.
Okay. So that makes sense. That makes sense that your BMI would affect your vitamin D intake. But what about the other way?
The other way is more complicated. But when we look at links between vitamin D and diseases, we see a number of very strong links with a number of metabolic diseases, such as, you know, diabetes, obesity, and so on. And the way that I think maybe we should explain this is to see vitamin D level in your own body as a little measuring device which can signal to your body what time of the year it is, right? Because during summertime, we are all making more vitamin D than we are using. And then during the wintertime, we are using more than we are making because we are making almost nothing, right? So imagine, like, you know, in your house, you have a thermometer maybe for temperature, but your body has vitamin D and can use vitamin D level to see what time of year it is. So when you go to animals, it's very frequently observed that coming into winter, animals eat lots and basically they get fatter because this is the way how an animal can effectively store food for the winter, right? So if you have a low vitamin D level, your body may think that winter is coming, right? And it encourages you to, you know, boost your stores by basically getting, you know, fatter.
Is that a theory or is that kind of what you're seeing in research?
You can see small shifts in BMI or small shifts in different people through the year. Because we are so conscious and there's so many other factors that kind of play into that. You know, it's not as obvious as it may be in animals. I'd be able to show you a paper on that.
One of the things I thought was very interesting in reading about this is that your vitamin D levels change over the year. And I suppose while that it's kind of obvious, I also kind of wonder, like, how much vitamin D is in us, essentially, that, you know, in winter that we've got a lot less and in summer we've got a lot more. Is that variability a problem?
So we need more research on that. I think that keeping that variability is very important for telling your body what time of the year it is. But the problem we have is that if you imagine this as a sinusoid curve, right? The problem we have is that we shifted the whole curve way down, right? Because 100 years ago, we were, you know, working in the fields and we were, you know, selling things in the market or buying things in the market. But now we spend, you know, all day in front of our computer. We commute in the cars, indoors, in buses. Yeah. So we are basically never outside. So the whole curve, you know, it was healthy that the curve would be going up and down through the year. But now the whole curve is very low and that's the
underwater
problem.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. I'd be really interested to see, what changes I'm going to see. I'm going to start taking vitamin D because it was something I wanted to start doing. Interested to see what changes I notice in myself over the next 6 months as I try and increase my level of vitamin D and if I notice anything. At 49 years old, nearly pushing 50 next year, Lena, I'm starting to think a lot about actually taking care of this body that I've inhabited for so many years. So let's see. Professor Lena Zgaga from Trinity College, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.